Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Hello and welcome to today's episode. I'm thrilled to have you here today with me, and I'm thrilled to have Chelsea Albert. She is an intuitive hypnotherapy coach for anxiety and relationships. So I'm really excited to hear more about Chelsea's journey. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeannie, I am so excited to be here. I love your podcast and I'm excited for the conversation we're going to have today.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice. So let's talk a little bit about how did you get to where you are? Did you start out thinking you were going to be an intuitive hypnotherapist?
It wasn't on the list of acceptable college programs. No, I went through a divorce. Actually, I knew that I wanted to help people. I started out in the beauty industry. So in that industry, you're everybody's therapist anyway. And I kept seeing people coming in with the same problems, the same things every couple of weeks. And I was like, I don't have the permission to give them any deeper advice. So flash forward, divorced the narcissist. And I had all these thoughts in my head that were spinning and I couldn't stop thinking them. I knew they weren't true. I knew they weren't helpful. I knew they weren't even my thoughts. But everybody that I went to, my psychologist, my psychiatrist, my Reiki person, my hairstylist, I couldn't get these thoughts out of my head. So I learned about hypnotherapy and had a couple of sessions, and it completely changed my life. After about two sessions, one session and one follow-up, I never thought the same way again. And I actually met the man that I'm still dating now, and we're 5 years strong. I started my own business. I mean, my life just really opened up and I was allowed to live the way that I wanted to live. So after getting that tool in my belt, then I started leaning into some of my prior energy work training, my own natural intuition. And I've been picking up little things as I've been going, and it's sort of blended into this Chelsea-fied practice where I've always had the gift of kind of following the train of energy back to the original source, whereas a lot of traditional methods just stay at the surface. So it's been a fun and wild and completely unexpected ride, to be perfectly honest.
I love that. Chelsea-fied practice. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about follow the train of energy back to the source. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's partially an intuitive thing, partially a learning about hypnosis and learning how the unconscious mind works. The thing that I've noticed is it really never is the thing. And that sounds really trite. And there's a lot of other coaches that will tell you this. But for example, I had a client who was biting her nails. Usually I don't work with habits just because it's not a dire enough situation. I really love working with the big stuff. But she was a friend of mine and I had known her previously. So she was biting her nails. Turns out there was a deep unconscious and even spiritual belief that she didn't belong here on earth. She didn't belong with these humans. She didn't feel like she fit in. So she had picked up biting her nails as a way to fit in. So then years later, whenever she got stressed, whenever she was feeling like a fish out of water, she'd start biting her nails. So a lot of the work that we did had nothing to do with nail biting. I don't even think I mentioned it in the session, except for maybe a few times. It was more focusing on her sense of belonging, and her nail biting faded away naturally.
I love that. That's so powerful. And I think I agree that I pick my cuticles. So I'm sure that leads back to something. But so often we do things that we're A, not paying attention to, and B, have, like you said, nothing to do with whatever the physical manifestation is. It's something back. So how do you work with your clients? Do you obviously do one-on-one? I don't think you can do group hypnotherapy.
You actually can. I do group theta healings, which is basically we're going up to the creator of all that is asking for the healing and watching it happen. So it's been described as energy work on steroids. But I do group healings in my group coaching program, the Catalyst membership, but I also do one-on-one work. So I develop a way for if people do need me and if they need some coaching, if they need some intuitive insight, to anything that they've been dealing with. I've got the Catalyst membership where we do bi-weekly coaching calls, monthly healings. I do have a hypnosis audio library in there. For deeper stuff, for the intense stuff, for like the really deep anxiety or the relationship trauma, I do one-on-one work. And here's the thing, Jeannie, I'm not a very patient person. I want to help my clients not need me as efficiently as possible. So the one-on-one work is deep. I like to joke with my clients and say, you're paying me to be a pest. There's a lot of spiritual bypassing in the healing world these days. A lot of, okay, well, if it's not feeling aligned, if it's feeling challenging, or if it's just leave it. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes we are avoiding what we need to grow through. And that's where I really take pride in serving my clients is I will call BS on their BS, their belief systems. But yeah, it's a really, what I've noticed is I'm usually the last people that people, or I'm usually the last person that people call. By the time they get to me, they're ready to try something completely different from what they've ever tried. There's maybe about 15, 20 minutes of actual talking, and that's just enough for me to pick up on the pattern and follow that energy back. And then we dive into experience. Then we actually experience healing. And I've got a bunch of tools in my belt, and whatever is most needed is what we use.
Wow. So, do you work with just individuals, or do you work, are they typically entrepreneurs, or are they moms, or is there any kind of rhyme or reason? I mean, I know we all got problems. So
I
I
know that
just
was the
wondered who
hardest
you.
part of marketing. Oh my goodness, that was because you start out like, well, I just want to help everybody. I do, but I've narrowed down so much. Some of the things that I've learned that have shifted over my time in practice is I do work with individuals, and that is mainly because I want the people who are ready to transform. I started out working with people who would call for their husband or their kid. Sometimes I'll still take younger teenage ones where their parents do have to call just because, you know, they have the authority to. But really, my goal is to always be working with the person who desires the healing. It started out with just women, and now it's women and men. It has really grown towards business owners just because, well, I are one. And it's, yeah, those are my people. I get it. They get it. And they have such a growth desire. A lot of people go to therapy. They don't really consciously realize this, but a lot of people out there right now are just trying to fix their broken toys. They don't actually desire to do the deep work that transforms their life. They want their old life back. They want everything. And I have realized that I am not in that business. I'm not in the business of giving people their old life back. I'm in the business of helping people take that next step when everything else needs to fall apart and to show them that the grass is really greener on the other side.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that you like to work with people with a growth desire. I think that's such a great term. And I really think entrepreneurs, everybody at some point gets stuck and they can't get to that next level. It's like everything I'm doing, and usually they're doing what they've always done, but there's something blocking them from really making things easier. And it's taken me a long time to recognize that it's okay for things to be easy and flow, because we're often told you've got to work hard, work, 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 20 hours a day, or you're not going to make it. So it must be very rewarding to help entrepreneurs get through that.
It really is. And you brought up a really important point. Life doesn't have to be hard, but there is sometimes a divine challenge that we need to go through. And sometimes that is letting it be easy. And that is the really interesting thing. I had a dear friend tell me, resting is so hard. I'm so used to making it happen. And this is terrifying right now to sit here on a day off and not make calls. And that was her hard. That is the divine kind of hard that I really love challenging people to grow through so that it can be easy on the other side, so that they can move forward without that wall right in front of them.
Yeah, no, I've had vacations where it takes me 2 days to just unwind and not think, oh, I've got to check my email. Oh, I've got to make sure that that was taken care of. Oh, and not just break it. So tell me a little bit about maybe some of your most challenging cases. Cases, is that the right word? Clients?
There's been quite a few. I think the really challenging ones are the ones that I took when I shouldn't have. They're the ones that did not really actually, like I was saying, they didn't desire the change. Maybe they had come. I no longer work with smokers. Hypnosis is fantastic for smoking. Brilliant. My own mentor is one of the top in Nashville where I'm at. But a lot of people I found were calling not because they actually desired to quit smoking. They wanted me to make them want to quit smoking. So they were always really challenging to me personally because I was like, some of the really interesting ones have been my phobia clients because phobias are a tricky one. People will go months trying to heal, they'll go years with it, or they'll just keep that phobia for years. I had one gal who was just amazing, 60 years. She was afraid of dogs. And 60 years ago, you could kind of avoid dogs. You'd go into a restaurant. Well, now dogs are accepted everywhere. So now her phobia became a real problem. She was afraid to fly. She was afraid to travel because now they allow dogs on airplanes. So we did one session. And after that session, she was on a trip with her cousin. Like literally the next day, she went on a weekender. And on the way back, She or in the hotel. In the hotel, she heard a dog barking. Now, normally that would have sent her running back to the room. That would have sent her running out of the building. She wouldn't have been able to focus. And she heard the dog barking and everything was fine. They had breakfast, everything was great. She got on the plane to fly back. And she was the one who suggested a row where there was a service dog sitting right across from them.
Wow, that is quite something.
It was wild. And again, that was one of those things that she carried for 60 years. So it was dear to my heart because it was challenging in the way that, okay, are we going to be able to undo 60 years of this? And it
Yeah,
just
and all the limitations that she has, if she's terrified of flying and dogs, like you said, dogs are everywhere, and she was probably running from them, and probably always like this when you go out because you don't know if they're going to be around.
She actually sent me a picture recently. Her daughter just got a golden doodle, and she is cuddling with that thing. She is there in matching Tennessee State Vols t-shirts, and it just that was one of my I think it was one of the deepest things that I've done.
Yeah, because that must have come from somewhere, and it might not even have been a fear of dogs. Did it
It
come from
wasn't.
like something else?
There it is again. It wasn't. She was afraid of actually having her boundaries crossed. It was always, she was afraid of being trapped under the dog and not being able to get away from the dog. And it was always her, so the pattern that I was picking up on was that her speech always went back to the humans. It was always, yeah, and then people will just say, oh, he's good, he's not gonna bite, he's not gonna do a thing. And she was always talking about the human, not the dog. And so it really came back to a time where her boundaries had been seriously crossed and disrespected. And then over the years, of course, people would try to sort of exposure therapy her out of it, all the while crossing her boundaries and saying, no, she's saying, no, I don't want to mess with this. And people were saying, oh, no, just get it. So again, it's just, it is fascinating. People are fascinating. I love them.
Yeah, and it is, I'm sure her friends and things were well-meaning and just wanted her to be exposed to a good situation with a dog. But if you have that irrational fear, I remember when I was young, we didn't have dogs, we had cats. And so I was scared of dogs. I thought if I put my face in front of their face, they're just going to bite it off. That was just an irrational fear. And then my best friend had a golden retriever named Duke, and he was just delightful. And I remember I'd sleep over her house when we were kids, and he'd jump in bed with me and he would lay over my leg so I couldn't move. But he was just so sweet, and that totally turned me around. So it wasn't a deep set fear, it was just an irrational
Yeah.
surface level fear.
Yeah. So that's, we have a bunch of them. I'm afraid of spiders. I have zero desire to change it. It's fine. I'm good. We have an agreement. If they come into my house, it's trespassing. And
Don't
that's
move to
where that.
Australia.
Oh, you live in Australia.
Don't move to Australia.
Oh, no. Again, that's one of the things. Actually, you know what? Hey, that is where I'm fine not growing. I'm good with that. And I think we have to also acknowledge, is this something that I really want to grow through or not? Do I have any desire to go to Australia? Not really. It's fine. It's fine. And it's a matter of prioritizing what you really desire to change. And that's where the most powerful healing happens is when you say, okay, you know what? That's it. I'm done being this old person. I'm ready to be this new person, even if that means sacrificing who I used to be.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about what type of, you gave me some examples, but I'm thinking of people who are listening. If what should they recognize that they're doing that could be triggered by something else? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So one is if you notice that honestly, a lot I am just now recommending this. This is coming to me as we're talking, so your audience will be my guinea pigs. Take voice notes. When you're feeling really triggered, take voice notes and then play it back and start noticing what you actually are talking about. Because a lot of us just vent, and part of my job is to recognize what people are really talking about when they're venting about the thing. So if you can listen to yourself and say, gosh, I really do mention feeling left out a lot. I know that this was a networking event that maybe just somebody kind of, I felt like somebody brushed me off. I'm really mentioning that I used to be left out a lot, or I'm really mentioning that I feel insulted, or I'm noticing a lot that I'm talking about this. Go back and audit your self-talk. It's challenging. I'm not going to say it's not. It's weird to listen to ourselves in the best of cases. And when you're listening to yourself talk, trying to analyze it, but give it a try. Another way that you can really start identifying, I hate to be the one to admit this, is other people. It's other people, and especially the people who are least willing to put up with our BS, are the most helpful people in the world. I gotta tell you, my partner, he drives me absolutely bonkers, but dang it, he will call me when I'm putting something on him that is not him. And we almost don't even catch it. That's why it is so valuable to seek out a coach, a healer of any kind, a therapist, like whoever will call you on that pattern that you're repeating, find those people and hold them dear.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. 'Cause yeah, 'cause your closest friends may just want to support you. It's okay. It's all going to be okay. It's just a temporary situation and they're very, very well-meaning, but that's not always what you need to hear. Sometimes you need to hear the hard stuff as well.
Yeah, and it really is for your highest and best. Find the people who will tell you lovingly. By the way, I'm not advocating hanging around with jerks who are like, well, I'm just being honest. No, you're not. You're being a jerk. But find the people who will look you in the eye, tell you, I love you. And have you noticed you've repeated the same story 3 times this week?
Absolutely. So I know that you have something in the works. Can we tell people a little bit about it?
Yeah, I guess. So I have actually been branching out into something. This year has been a very, very interesting shift. I've been learning to build and developing an app that is designed to help small business owners. And it is completely out of my wheelhouse. I used to tell people that there are magical gnomes living in these plastic machine computer things, and they go on break every time I sit down. So this has been a giant stretch. It's been a fantastic creative project, but the concept of it is that there are some people in this world, and especially in the business world, like myself, who absolutely despise and reject the business bro grind mode mentality. And I've had mentor after mentor telling me, you need to be talking to 10 people a day. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. And my brain will reject it. If it doesn't feel right to me, I will rebel. So I've developed a little bit of a gamified system to help encourage play and to help encourage a little bit of friendly competition, a little bit of friendly accountability, and to help you naturally go out and do those things, those little marketing consistencies, those little outreach consistencies that will help your business grow. And yeah, I've been playing this little game with myself for the past few months, and it's helped me because I've noticed there's a little bit of an energetics thing to it too, that when you do things for the sake of play, when I was calling people trying to get an appointment booked, or when I was calling people trying to, like, get my reach outs done, it never I almost had commission breath, I think. But when I started reaching out to people that I hadn't even thought to reach out to because dang it, I need my points, people started responding differently to me. And my book started getting more full. So this is also playing into taking your mind off of the money for a second and just enjoying it for the sake of enjoying it and just doing it for the sake of having fun.
I love that so much. Commission breath. That's hilarious.
Oh yeah, I had a sales job for like maybe 3 months, and that was the word that they always use. And I was like, I've got to remember that. Absolutely, like yeah, I haven't fully launched yet, so you are quite literally the first people that I am telling about this. So feel free to follow all my other social medias because I'll be funneling that in. But that is set to be in beta phase by the end of the month.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Because and you're so right, it's a mindset, isn't it? You can think of your business as sell, sell, sell. I've got to find people who need what I have. Or you can think of it as, wow, I've got this great opportunity. Maybe I should have some conversations with some people about it. So it's the same thing, but it's just taking it in two different directions.
Yeah, I'm motivated by play. I have always been that way, and I think there's something about this season that has really kicked me into it, and I'm having so much fun with it. I gotta tell you.
I love that. Well, if people are listening and they're saying, I want to see her at play, where is the best place for them to reach out to you and to find you online?
Yeah, I do have a YouTube channel, Chelsea, Chelsey Albert. Albert Healing. You can also, if you would like to work with me or even just give me a shout and see if we are each other's people, you can go to my website and book a complimentary consultation call, Chelsea, Chelsey Albert, Albert Healing at ChelseyAlbertHealing.com. There we go.
Perfect. Okay, so last question. If you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
Yeah. And if we talked about this in kind of a little bit of a pre-show chat, I stand by my statement. There's a lot of people that believe that they are not enough in this world. And the one thing that has shifted both my understanding of this belief, as well as a lot of my clients and a lot of my friends, sometimes it truly is a belief of not enough, in which case you're here. Creation doesn't make mistakes. Whatever, every tree, every animal, everything is perfect. So if you weren't enough, you just wouldn't exist. But more importantly, a lot of times I'm finding, especially with business owners, that it's not that you're not enough. It's that somebody somewhere once told you that you were too much, and then you started playing small. So if you find that you're playing too small, that feeling of not enoughness is your soul telling you, start being who you are. Start being who you are. Start stepping into it. Start playing bigger because you were meant to. Your soul craves expansion. Your heart craves to know what it can do. So before the next time that little voice says you're not enough, question it and say, is it that, or is it that I've been keeping myself too small and it's time to be bigger?
I love that. Ooh, give me chills. Chelsea, and we always sign our emails actually, dream big. So
You do. I love it. It's true. It's so true. We are in a time where many people are convincing themselves that they're not enough, that they can't handle the big things that are coming to them, that they can't handle hard things, that they can't handle a undesired outcome. And what empowerment really is it's resilience. And that is, if I could give that gift to the world, that would be resilience and mental freedom. That is my big old Chelsea maniacal world domination plan, is just to make everyone a little more resilient, a little more free, spread those ripples out, and yeah. Yeah,
I like it. Chelsea domination plan. Let's make it happen.
it's in my diary, and if anybody asks later on, I'll deny all of this.
We've got you. We've got you recorded, Chelsea. You can. Well, this has been such a delightful conversation. Thank you so much for joining me, Chelsea. I know our audience is going to really enjoy this episode.
I got you, Jeannie. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.